Commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast Super One. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
In today's episode 162, I think, I'm not even sure anymore, a Podcast Super One, youtube.com/Super One Studios, the best place to consume the content. And if you haven't already, please hit that notification bell, that subscribe button. That way you're updated on all future episodes of Podcast Super One, as well as all the cool content we have at 241 Studios. I'm in talking to Luke and Joel again about restarting 241 Joel in the next month or so. So we're kind of
Did you say 241 Joel? Because it sounded like you said 241 Joel.
I might have. It's now Joel's show. He runs owns Podcast Super One. No, 241 Joe Live is what I should say. Where we sometime, hopefully early in the morning, we break down the most recent news. And we had fun doing it last year, and I think we might do it again. It's just for funsies and just for fun. You know, if you didn't know, listeners, we are sponsored by Kapow Comics, located at 4047 East Kill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. There they have comic books, collectibles, graphic novels, and, of course, special guest appearances throughout the year. Kapow. Now, me and Daniel, we have a few things on the plate here. We have Jedi Survivor, Star Wars Visions. We've talked about doing Shazam because it's now dropping digital. We've talked about Dungeons & Dragons. There's a lot of things happening, right? We have things happening around the corner next month, Spider-Verse, Indiana Jones, all these things. But we discussed this last week just because I haven't finished Survivor yet, and also we both haven't finished Visions yet, that maybe we just kind of took another news cycle. And you know what, Daniel? I had this idea last night while watching Air, and then I thought, okay, maybe we'll do a few things of news, and then we'll just kind of do this, because also this is going to be kind of a shorter pod, I think.
Sure.
And and then while I was looking at news, I was like, God, I just don't want to talk about the same fucking things again. Like, James Gunn has talked about another quote about Superman. Jonathan Majors is another. Someone tweeted about it who has no idea what's going on, but it's circulating in the news. Right. You know, Ahsoka got a release date. Loki got a release date. Echoes is all dropping at day one. But it's the same shit that we all – it's just the same shit. And I was just kind of like, you know, I think I'm going to go with just this topic I had last night. And I was watching Air last night, which is the basically documentary by Ben Affleck. And
it's a documentary? Is it like a
documentary? Sorry, it's a biography or biographical film. So it's you know, it's like a sorry, my bad. And it stars Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, Chris Tucker, and Viola Davis. And it's about the origination and the creation of the Air Jordan shoe.
Yeah.
And so I was watching it last night, and I was just having a good time watching it. And I was just laughing at it. And I was,
you'd recommend it, by the way, right?
I recommend it. Yeah. Just because it's, you know, it's a feel good movie, and there's great performances. There's some interesting, and Ben Affleck does a good job directing it. There's, you know, a few things, and I was like, that's an odd choice. And, you know, overall, I mean, I thought he did a really good job. And those movies kind of live or die by the acting and the script, not so much the camera work or that kind of stuff. But as I was watching it, I was having a good time. And I was kind of getting that feeling like, oh, yeah, this is what movies are supposed to make me feel. Like, this is like, you know, I didn't go to the theater to watch this, which I would have loved to. But, you know, we go watch Guardians, and we just see all these trailers and its expectations and all these things about like how it's supposed to lead into the next movie and these like almost impossible standards. Right. And so we put a lot of pressure on the movie before we go in there. Mm-hmm. And what Air did for me was just, it kind of let me just enjoy a movie for a second and not just have this emotional weight with it or this emotional baggage or all these kind of things. And what happened in that moment for me was I was enjoying the movie, and I was enjoying the process of watching the movie, and it made me want to go write. Maybe want to go like be creative. Like, oh yeah, this is like what we do. And so my question to you, this is all that to say this, like we talk about this sometimes in passing, and right now we're both writing together, right? Like what helps you start the process of writing? stops the process of procrastination and what can, what inspires you, you know, like, and it's going to be conversational. You don't have to talk for 3-4 minutes. We can just kind of bounce back and forth, but I don't know, just kind of thinking about it. And, you know, my struggles with it, we can kind of touch on those in a second, but just general thoughts on what, everything I just said.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great topic, and I think it's relevant to anyone that wants to be creative or wants to, you know, hone a craft even creatively. You know, for me, whether it's writing music or it's writing scripts or coming up with stories and characters, I mean, I think the things that, you know, inspire me are, for one, like, just like what you had with Air, right? Like seeing someone else with a vision for something cool and then executing it and working. Like, I would say Everything Everywhere All at Once was a movie where I watched that coming away like, oh, I want to, it drove me to keep writing, watching a movie like that, watching a movie that I thought was so cleverly written, had so many like kind of interesting layers and themes and levels of interpretation, and was made with, you know, the creatives were in control, right? Like it feels like that movie just has the fingerprints of the Daniels all over it, right? Top to bottom. And I think seeing people express themselves creatively inspires me to want to express myself creatively. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think, I think seeing other artists, being around other artists, seeing other artwork are all things that make me want to formulate my own emotions and thoughts into art. You know what I mean? And I think that's even, to me, where like how, not necessarily true art versus like fake art or cheap art or art for profit, but I think there is this level of like, that is sometimes even how I can gauge like, okay, you know, does it feel like there's a person inside of this trying to formulate something in a way that words can't, you know what I mean? Like, and that, to me, that's what art is, right? It's like an expression of an emotion or an idea in a way that is beyond words, that in a way that is beyond like, you know, a technical explanation, maybe even. So yeah, that's it for me. You know, I think seeing other artists, but I think, you know, and you know, kind of on the other hand with that, I think is, especially when it comes to me for writing music, understanding myself better almost always leads to some sort of artistic expression, right? Like for me, whenever I don't know, figure out something that's been bothering me that I wasn't aware of, or maybe deal with a painful memory or something from the past that has been there a long time, and going through the process of dealing with that, of healing from it, of understanding it, almost always, or at least for me, very frequently, just kind of naturally produces some sort of response in me that usually tends to be artistic, whether it's a song or an idea for a film. I've had several ideas for films that have kind of spawned off moments like that as well. Some of them we may be writing in the next couple of years, right? And so, yeah, I think that it's a little bit unpredictable sometimes. Like, you know, inspiration, you can't just rely on inspiration to get artwork done. Sometimes you just have to work on it. You know what I mean? If you're wanting to turn your art into some sort of career, especially, or anything like that, you know, you can't only work on your art when you're just feeling it, right? But I also feel like all of my best ideas come from those moments of feeling it. You know what I mean? Of being so caught up in some sort of emotion or idea that like it just starts spilling out, whether that's as a story or as a song or whatever. That's a bit of I threw a bunch at you there, but yeah, that's...
No, it's okay. I think there's like 3 or 4 things I want to touch upon that you said in there. One of them, I think it's interesting about how you're dealing with a past experience or a traumatic event. And I like the idea, and this is maybe, and we'll use this word a couple times here in the next couple minutes, like I think it's romantic, the idea that you're pulling something from inside yourself and you're putting it, you're pulling it out into another form.
Yes.
And then so it's like you get the you're growing from that process, and then you're also showing people basically your trauma, you know, and but it's like you're showing the trauma and the healing process in an art form itself, which is just pretty amazing and fascinating. I mean, just thinking it about thinking about Kronos, you know, that movie's about parents letting go and kids wanting to grow up and all these kind of things. And the whole movie is built around that last moment, you know, when they're both saying goodbye to each other. And that's just, you know, pulling out, you know, my feelings into a visual language for people to kind of maybe they've heard that story time and time again, but maybe they saw it slightly different,
right?
With different shot compositions, actors, dialogue, music, whatever. Another thing I think is interesting that you pointed out.
Can I just make one little point off of that? Is that, you know, one thing I think about, and I'm not basing this on any like knowledge, but I think to me the ability to create analogies or metaphors is one of like human beings, like one of our greatest tools, because it allows us to take something we don't understand and by use of metaphor put it within context that we do understand, and then we can better understand it. Right. And even like, I feel like sometimes when you know you really understand a concept is when you can put it into metaphor and like, oh, I get it now. It's like this. Right. And I think that even to me is a little bit of what happens with that artistic expression too, where it's like, it's putting the lesson into your own words, almost like if you're responding to a prompt on like an essay or something, right? It's like, well, this is what I learned, but I'm going to express it like this because that's just a way that clicks with me in some way. Like I see it, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to throw that on.
No, one thing just about myself, especially if I'm in an argument with somebody or a tense conversation, and my brain's going really fast and I'm just like processing quickly, I almost universally always use the dumbest fucking metaphor I could think of in terms of like, not because it's stupid, but I'm saying like, it's just outrageous. It connects in my brain, but it's outrageous for the context in the moment. Yeah. And like, I've always been that way. Don't know why. Don't know what that says about me, but anyway. Another thing you said that kind of was interesting to me, and it's something I've always felt, and I think every filmmaker who goes through this process feels this unanimously. I don't know who does it, but we were at the Baden, Arkansas Film Festival a couple weeks back, and every
shout out to Johnny and Carrie, great festival. Shout out to
Johnny, Brandon, and Carrie, Mike, and the Rod Robinson Theater. And you know, I've always felt this way of like, even though sometimes some of the movies are lackluster, and sometimes the movies are really good, they just blow your film out of the water. You know, you had that spectrum of like really bad to really amazing, and then everything in between. It's just typically every film festival, right?
Right.
Even though you're sitting there watching some of these bad films or even these amazing films, I always kind of walk away like just being inspired by even these bad movies who are doing something, trying to do something that they're failing at.
Yeah.
And you know, you're like, maybe I could have done something different there. Or seeing these amazing movies and being like, man, that was incredible. And like, I wish I could make something like that. And on top of that, the environment of like just being around your peers. I think sometimes, you know, we both worked on Low Lives and just examples in Kronos for a long time. We shot, of course, a couple of days, but then we spent months/years by ourselves, locked away behind a computer in a room, dark, whatever. And then we don't get to see anyone that actually works on the things that we also work at. And it's also different at our level because we're not around filmmaking productions, like big ones. And we're not doing it on a daily basis because we have other jobs and families and X, Y, and Z. So I think that's one thing that filmmaking or film festivals can do for anyone is, you know, I can encourage people like, you may have seen those films before at the UCLA Film Festival, or you may not like this director or this person, or you may not, you know, think any of these films are good because you're better than them, and you might be, but go anyway, because you're going to, I think it's infectious, is that that creativity and that inspiration.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, another thing too is the last point that I stuck with me that you talked about was being sometimes, especially if you're in this business, it's like what you do. This is your day job. Let's say you're writing for TV, you're writing for film. Is, you know, you can't only just write when you feel inspired.
Yeah.
That's the thing I struggle with. It's like, it's just like coming to the table and just writing. Right.
Yeah.
And I feel like, am I writing? What am I writing? Am I just writing to write? You know, what's happening here?
Sure.
And one thing that I hear Craig Mazin and John August mm-hmm. talk about is like the profession itself is not romantic at all.
Mm.
Like you can find it's generally just it's a job, and yeah. you obviously can get wrapped up in the process and you can love what you're doing in moments. Right. But a lot of it is it's a job. You know, you're coming up to the day and you're just like, I got to get these many pages out by X, right. Y, and Z, or there's rewrites happening and I got to do a whole new draft of a movie within 2 weeks or even less than that.
Right.
And it's like you're under the gun and you're just kind of you're meeting deadlines and you're trying to appease executives and take notes and those kind of things.
Right.
And so it's a thing I struggle with, you know, in terms of just coming to the table and just forcing myself to write and then hoping that something sticks from that. And typically I feel like I don't start the writing process until I know where I'm going or what I'm trying to write, which I think is something I need to break myself of.
Yeah, no, I think I struggle with that too. And I think, you know, I think for me, when it comes to like getting to the table to start, that is usually the biggest hump is sitting down and opening up the program. If I can get there, I'm usually can get on a roll. And I think for me, once I start actually getting into the scene mentally and I start writing it where I'm watching it in my head as it's coming out, that's usually for me a very invigorating process. Like it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like it kind of exercises. I feel like parts of my brain that don't get exercised in other ways. And almost mm-hmm. it's kind of like you're going to a make-believe place in your head and you're just creating every detail that is relevant. I don't know. There's just something really magical about when you're in the zone writing. You know where you're going. You know what the scene needs to be. Ideas come up in the midst that are cool that you might add into it, right? Like just all these kinds of things. Like that's when I can get into that flow state, I can usually stay there for a couple hours and usually get a decent amount of, you know, maybe a dozen pages if I'm on fire, right?
Yeah.
Which is good. Like, I mean, like that's if I was a working writer, a dozen pages a day would be damn good rate of pages a day to be done.
It'd be amazing.
Be higher than the norm, right? Like John August and Craig Mazin, I feel like they talk about like 6 to 7 is their norm, right?
Potentially.
Like as a general rule, that's how much, because, you know, they also talk about it's not just about time, it's also about energy you're putting into it. And that like writing for 2 hours to me is a lot more depleting of my energy than editing for 3 hours or something like that, like something that takes much less of my kind of like mental capabilities to engage with.
Right.
It is like just sometimes just a discipline thing, right? Like for me, I have found that I work when I'm writing, when I'm in like the writing time, we've got everything ready to write. For me, I work best if I write first thing. First, like after I get, you know, my son to school, I get home, I get settled before, as long as I can, before I have to do, you know, day job stuff, before I do anything that, you know, I might be doing other project wise, let me write for at least an hour to an hour and a half, because that's when I'm going to be kind of the most awake and alert. And I know if I just make myself start there, I'll get it done. And then I'll feel great about the day because I wrote what I wanted to write and I can just get the rest of the shit done. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't feel like it's hanging above me. Oh, well, I need to get this done so I can write. And, you know, I do think too, like for me, this is very personal for me, but like, or personal to me specifically, but like, you know, writing scripts versus writing music is a very different thing for me in terms of like there is analogous parts of the process, right? Like I think for me, writing music comes in two stages. There's two main stages. It's writing, it's composing the music itself, like the chords and the tones and the drum samples, and you know, it's creating melodies within that. Like that is usually something I'm doing, or I'm writing words and lyrics, and you very rarely am I doing the same one at the same time. They're very different moods even for me. The composing of music is very productive, very much like I can sit down for 3 hours and maybe come up with like 2 to 3, maybe 4 song ideas that I really like that are just like kind of hooks or beats or whatever. Just because it's kind of just flow. It's like, oh, what do I try this patch? Does it sound good? Great. That makes me, I'm going to use this drum. And it's just kind of like, I'm just feeling it along. For writing, for me, I have to know what the song's about to write it. I can't. And this is very normal for scripts. It's like, you can't just sit down and you know, I'm sure we did it in film school and most people have, where you sit down and write a short film and you write it as you're coming up with it.
Yep. Done that. Done that a lot.
Me too.
That's probably why all mine got finished, because I was forced to write something and I was like, I think all those scripts we wrote in Bruce's class, Bruce don't listen to this anyway, even though he's on the show. I know he didn't listen to it. I wrote all those right before class started, like 10 minutes before class.
Oh, I remember coming in. I would routinely just stop by the room you worked in, just be like, see how close you were. And sometimes you'd just be like, I can't even look at you because I'm typing. There's no time.
You're right.
Anyway, so yeah. So I think for me, when I'm writing the lyrics or I'm writing a story, I think I have to have a pretty solid idea of what it is and what it means and what it means to me at the very least. Right. So it is that kind of like chicken and the egg kind of thing sometimes, right? Sure. We're like, well, I want to just write, but I got to know where I'm going to write something that at least is like, you know, sometimes it's just fun to write poetry or just to exercise that muscle a little bit. But, you know, as far as when you're trying to, which like stuff we're doing, we're trying to kind of work on like bigger projects, like long term. This isn't just a script. This is a script that we might try to make a movie of, right? Or this is a feature film that has all these elements into it. We're not just doing like it's not an exercise. We've got a goal in mind with these efforts, right?
Yeah.
And so I think, it's this interesting balance of, you know, making sure I'm doing well mentally so that I can have the capacity and the inspiration on deck to keep moving forward, you know, like, and then, you know, it's just like you kind of said, it's finding the discipline, finding the schedule that fits, finding how do I, you know, sometimes it's just like parenting yourself, right? Like what is the least path of least resistance that I can get to my goals that I can set for myself? Yeah. Right. Like, you know, I know that was a lot, kind of rambled a bit, but
I mean, one thing in there that you mentioned that I grabbed onto, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the process of us writing together.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things I love, you said that whenever sometimes you're writing and you know how the scene starts, how the scene ends, and what the scene's following, because we've blocked it out, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes when you're writing those scenes, it's discovering like new moments or new things, and that's always fun, right?
Yes.
I think I've told you this before, but one of my favorite things about this process that we've done is whenever, you know, I'm like, we block this scenes out. We know what's going to happen. It's okay. It's your turn to write this week, and you're supposed to get through scene A through B, whatever.
Yeah.
And then I get these scenes back, and it's my job to go through C through D and connect to your scenes.
Right.
And then I'm reading what you wrote, and so like and then I know what happens in the scene, but I don't necessarily know the dialogue, and this goes both ways.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know the camera direction or the like, you know. But I'm getting to see it, and I get to watch the movie that we've been talking about, not written by me, particularly.
Yeah, right.
And so it's like always fascinating, just the little extra things that you throw in there that we didn't talk about, or the camera, the scene description, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that discovery is so fun, and it's so different too than writing by yourself, because you're doing it all by yourself, and you're discovering it as you go, and it's different, but.
Yeah,
it's just interesting how I don't know, that feeds off each other, you know, and we work really good together too. And this is something that I heard on Script Notes again a couple weeks ago episode, was that they were talking about when you're going in as a writing duo, and when you're pitching to a studio or a manager or agent, whatever, like, hey, here's our work and whatever, it's important to, let's say, it's important to call out each other's strengths, and like, don't say like, oh, I'm really like Donovan doesn't say I'm really good at writing action or screen or, you know, screen description. Right. Say, you know, like one of the reasons why me and Daniel work together, Daniel's really great at understanding people and writing dialogue.
Yeah.
And you know, he can observe that and just kind of put that on the page. And then you would come and say something like, yeah, well, I appreciate that, you know, but the thing that really makes us work is like, I can do that Donovan can come in and kind of do the screen description and paint like a visual setting kind of thing. And it kind of, and it shows as a writing team to these people, this is what Craig Mazin and John
need are both.
Saying, is that you need both.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
can't, is why would they want to hire a writing duo when they both do the same thing?
Right. Yes. Yes.
And
right,
then it's also right. like, and typically it's like a band, right? Bands fall yes. apart. So
sure,
it's like,
sure.
you know, so it's like, it's already maybe a little iffy hiring two sure. people, but also it could be advantageous if they're simpatico sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, and I'll say like, I think it's been, you know, it's been a growing process learning how to work together as just Daniel and Donovan, but also just write cooperatively, you know, it's just different. And yeah. I do think like when we're talking about like kind of the discipline side and the goal side, it is really helpful to have someone there that is wanting to get to the same place you are. And you, it's not so much that like, you don't want to not, it's like having someone that you're like, well, if I, you know, if I don't do this, it'll be fine. But, you know, I don't want to let down my partner as far as like, I don't want to feel like I've, you know, either haven't given enough on that side of it. Or if it's just kind of a thing of like, you know, having someone to remind you each other of like, you know, it's a long process. You know, we both said, and I think we said before, you know, we're playing the long game. We're not trying to become, you know, successful writers by the end of the year. If it happens, great. We're not going to argue with it, but you know, we're playing this game of like, we're looking at this as like trying to build a career. And by doing that, you know, trying to position ourselves within the next few years to be ready to be found, essentially, right? Like good scripts, several of them, you know, good connections, maybe even doing some of it ourselves, like just showing that over time, so that someone isn't like, oh, well, they just wrote one good script, that's fine. It's like, oh no, they've been doing this for like 5 years and they got four or five scripts. They've already, you know, they're funded. They're about to start making one of them or directing one of them, whatever that situation is. You know, I think for me, and maybe this is just me too, it's just nice to not be alone in that journey. Just to have someone else to, for one, just to like run thoughts by, but also just, I think, you know, we do bring different strengths to the table in terms of just like what makes a good movie, like what we kind of identify as like good stuff in movies or makes movies successful or interesting, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. It's just, I personally really enjoy working as a team. And I'm like, sure. I think it's a thing of like, it's only benefited, at least for me, like just in terms of like, I don't think I would even be this far down this path if I was doing it alone, even just from like an encouragement standpoint or like, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And I think another thing is just like on a baseline simple level is that when we're bouncing ideas across, it's literally twice the amount of ideas versus one person coming up with three ideas and being stuck on them. Now we're coming up with six ideas and we get to discuss all six cooperatively. Yes.
And having to sell an idea. To
that's important. I feel like, even though it's sometimes, you know, it's like, I'm like, annoying. Hear me out. I'm like, hear me out. Listen to me for a second. Let me go down the rabbit hole. I think it's like, it's super, cause also it's like you're doing two things. One, you're selling, I'm selling you the idea. And then I'm also, I'm making sure it's correct in my own
head.
And
flesh it out. Yeah.
And selling it to myself too. Cause sometimes, you know, you start a conversation and then you're like 3 minutes into it and you're like, damn, I'm so stupid. Like that was wrong. Yeah, you know? Sure, and like, I'm like, you're right, Daniel. Like you're right. And sometimes, you know, sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes you're right. And it goes both ways. Sometimes I'm like, yep. Yeah. And you know, whatever, you know, you start and then I'm like, no, I don't think it's a good idea. And you start again. I'm like, all right, you're right. You know, I just,
yeah,
like, yeah.
Right, but then right, sometimes right. I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, like sometimes your brick wall is true. You're like, I don't think it works. I'm like, no, you're right. It doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I mean,
because sometimes you're just, especially when you're problem solving, right? And we've been doing a lot of that with our script recently, is like, we're trying to retool some things. We're adding a character. We're trying to kind of problem solve what we had and how does that work with what we're trying to go with now. And so sometimes it does feel like we're just throwing, I mean, it's just like shotgun spread ideas, you know what I mean? Just as many as possible. And just to see if something sticks or something, you know, feels right or something. And sometimes it is that thing where you're like, oh, that feels right. And then you're like, yeah, I think this is the right thing. You feel it kind of like you feel it in your gut, like, oh, this fixes it. This does all this stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that process of either like scripting it out beat by beat of how it works and why it works to someone else to sell it to them, either revealing that like, okay, wait, I didn't think about this or like that, you know, I got ahead of myself versus, no, I'm very confident now. This is exactly what we should do.
There's a question for you. And this is like, it's like you and me are like, you're basically, it feels like in this moment we're dating, right? So like, right. It's like a relationship. So here's a question for you. And I'll be honest on my end, whenever there's if I present an issue or a solution or a problem, are there moments where you like, you give in just to not in the argument, but like to like, maybe it will work, but I just don't know yet. Or, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, I think there's an element of cooperation, right? Where it's like you may throw out an idea and that wouldn't necessarily be my first idea, right? Maybe I had a different first idea for that thing and it looked a little different. That doesn't mean your idea is wrong.
Oh, yeah.
It may mean your idea is right and I had the wrong idea. Right. And there's an instinct to want to be like, almost like corrective, like, no, it shouldn't be this. It should be that, you know, like in the moment when
wrong and different are two different things, you know, wrong and different.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so I think some of it is just like, you know, some of it's just reacting to each other's ideas and like, oh, that's it. But sometimes it's also just thinking about them and like sitting with them and being like, okay, well, let's think about what, you know, how would that look? That's a cool idea. Yeah. Let's see how that would look kind of thing. So sure. I don't think it's like it's not so much like a, I don't know. It's not even like, it is a little bit of like, I mean, that's just kind of how teams work. Well, you know, teams don't work well with one person trying to dominate with their ideas and trying to be like, no, it needs to be this or even like, so, you know, teams work best when we put all the ideas on the table and we all honestly give them each a shot. You know what I mean? And so I don't think it's necessarily like withholding. It's just sometimes the initial reaction to an idea may feel like, oh, no, that doesn't need to be that. You know what I mean? And then you're like, I think for me, it's good to like sometimes just say like, okay, maybe no, but let's give it some time and like let's think about it a little more before we come to that conclusion.
And also, something people need to really think about or understand if they are writing with somebody else is that just because someone says no doesn't mean they don't like it. Maybe it means that you're not articulating your idea well enough.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I think you know just. I think we have a good communicative relationship where we don't stop until one of us gets it, you know, kind of thing. We're just kind of like, we figure out a way to get the point across eventually. and so like, I think,
I mean, funny enough, side note, I was really running in particular problems into the ground yesterday. You were really wanting to get like, let's do the Trello thing. And I heard you every time. I was like, nope, I'm in my head. I'm like, we need to fix this first. And so like, I didn't really feel bad, but I was very aware of what was happening.
Sure.
But that's just part of it sometimes, you know?
No, it is. And I think, like I said, it's just, you know, it's a dynamic, you know what I mean? And some days you're going to be more productive than others. You know, some days it's going to click easier. And then other days it's going to feel like, is this movie ever going to be done? You know what I mean? There's some days where I'm like, days. I see the path. I see it. I see it. We just got to keep going. Just keep walking in the direction we're going and we'll get there. Don't change anything. And then other days it's like,
you know,
are we walking into a black hole? Like, is that what we're actually going into?
I'm impressed that we're even in your version, we're walking. I feel like sometimes I'm crawling.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, I'm eating dirt and bugs on the way by accident. And I'm just, a big giant airplane wind fan in front of me, pushing me farther back and my hair's going. That's what I feel like. That's how I feel most of the time. And then other times, you know, like I get super excited and I not overreact, but I it's like my brain's like, we were walking, all of a sudden I'm like, I'm ready to fly all of a sudden.
Right. You can get in a rush sometimes. Like you can
get in a rush,
yeah. And I think I have that feeling too. Like when you see the finish line, when you you know, maybe you think this is the last draft, but maybe it's not the last draft of a script. You know what I mean? You know, I think it makes sense, you know, when you see it connecting, when you see the path towards your goal and you just kind of see it in the distance, like, well, if I just run faster, I'll get there faster. But also, I know for me, at least, I've learned many times that, like, there is a certain pace that I can go at and, like, still, like, be managing the rest of my life well. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think that's another thing, you know. We're both chasing after this goal while working other full-time jobs and having young kids in our houses, new families, you know, it's not like there's nothing else going on and this is just what we don't have anything else to do. Might as well do it. You know, I think that is something that I am proud of us for doing. And it feels good is that there's some weeks where we spend like 8 hours in a meeting throughout the week on scripts, you know what I mean? Of across all the days. And that feels like, you know, in at least for me in a busy, in what it feels like already a life that's kind of overcrowded with sometimes responsibilities or needs. It's like, I'm thankful that we have been able to just consistently carve out that time. You know what I mean? It feels like when we're doing it that consistently, even on weeks that are difficult, where you feel like you thought you'd be somewhere else, or you thought you'd have this figured out, or you thought you'd be past this, whatever, it doesn't feel dire or anything. To me, it's just like, okay, well, we just keep going and it will get figured out. You know what I mean?
I'm glad one of us feels that way. You know, that's how.
Listen, we got a trade off. When I don't feel that way, you need.
Yeah, it's true. I feel like, you know, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I know in previous conversations or previous years, we're coming up on years now, this experiment we're doing in terms of just the podcast, everything else. You know, I've felt like there's been many times where I'm like, no, this is possible. This is doable. Yeah. We got to go. And then there's other times where it's not even that I don't think it's possible. I just think I've always felt like this whole thing's a ticking clock and it is just, you know, I don't know. I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I see that tunnel just someone shutting the door behind that tunnel faster and faster, you know? So it's the thing I struggle with the most, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a thing of like, and you know, we're being pretty egotistically transparent on this podcast. If anyone is listening, maybe Joel's listening, but you know, there is a fear of, I can both have a complete assurance that we can do this and also knowledge that either through powers that are not under our control or whatever, it couldn't happen. It could not happen. And I think there's even for me this like fear of like, I don't want it not to happen because I gave up or because we just didn't keep going. I don't want it to not to happen because like it's simply a keeping the faith thing or an effort thing of like, you know, it's working, but I think it's like this fear of like, in some ways it's like fear of not living up to your own potential or your own expectations of your potential. Right.
100%. And or the expectations that society or your family.
Yeah. Or it's that thing of, and here's the ego talking. It's that thing of like, well, I think I can make it. There's a lot of people that think they can make it, but I think I'm
different.
More special or different than the millions and millions of people that they can make it. Cause I think I really can. Maybe I don't, maybe I can't. I mean, maybe this is just like a long ass lesson in the humble pie. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, honestly, what I would say is the reason why you could make it more than those people is that you believe you can make it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that could be the small edge that is going to separate you from all those people who were in film school and thought they were going to roll out and direct their first indie feature.
Right.
And now they're working somewhere that's not related at all to their thing. Not because they don't want to, but because they didn't have it, or they didn't have the ability to pursue it.
Yeah, no, right. And like, I think, you know, you think about the greatest, some of the most dominant pro athletes, like they talk about how, like, when they step on a basketball court, they believe they are the best player that is there. Maybe they're not. I've even heard things like, maybe I'm not, but I have to believe it to play like that. I play.
Yeah.
Like, the only way I can play at this level is if I believe no one's better than me, kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think there is an element of that where you have to say, like, you're never going to achieve it if you don't believe you can, you know what I mean? Or at least have an idea that you can. And I think, yeah, but at the same time, we have to also acknowledge that there's millions of people that can do it and don't, for whatever reason, whether it's life getting in the way, whether it's they just decide that's not their dream anymore, whether, you know, whatever it is, you know, and I think, I think part of it is like trying to just navigate that of like, I don't want to be one of those people that could have done it, but didn't, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Cause I think I can, and I really want to, I mean, some of it's proving it to myself, right? Some of it's just like, I think I can, but the only way to know is to try.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, I think you can. I think we can. And well, no, I know we can. And you know who else knew they could, who believed in themselves? Michael Jordan, which is last night when I watched.
Yes.
I watched Air last night, which started this whole conversation. And I'm really glad we went down this path. We haven't done a pod, I'm not sure, ever like this, where it's just you and me talking about filmmaking and not nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, no, this is a very personal, like, just the process of working together, creative collaboration, the podcast. I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like we could talk six more podcasts easy on just this, of how we do it, why we do it, all the other little things that we probably don't even think about while it's happening. But anyway, I'm glad we did it, and I wouldn't want to be on the podcast with anyone else. I wouldn't want to be writing with anyone else either.
Me either. So, talking through it just makes me feel more like, yeah, that is why we work good together. You're kind of this, it's like reminding yourselves of like, yeah, we got a good thing here. We just got to keep going. You know what I mean? Like
this kind of
partnership, having a same vision and kind of the same like drive to get there. Those are hard things to find in other people. Just in general, you know what I mean? And so, I'm excited for the future. I hope that this is one of those, like, you know, really fun, deep cut podcasts that gets like referenced in like 5 or 10 years. Like when we are successful and someone wants to write an article about like, I listened to their entire podcast catalog and I wrote like their 10 keys to success that I just derived from their in such intellectual and smart things they said. I think that's actually the end goal. I don't care about the success. I just want that article.
Yeah, coming. Sure. Hey, if we get that, I will to your face say we made it. Okay. Someone that we
is that the only that's the only way you will ever say that to me in my face? Like you'll never in any maybe. Other circle. Okay.
Maybe. I mean, if we're holding an Academy Award, I might say it. I might just say we got lucky and this is a fluke.
That should be the speech. We made it. And then
we made it. Let's be even weird about it. And you say we, and I say made, and then you say it
together.
It's just real weird about it. I feel like I don't know. Probably will suffer a lot of imposter syndrome.
Oh, of course.
Even after success.
Yeah.
So I think that's
something I suffer imposter syndrome in Walmart. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to.
Yeah. Well, it's honestly, I think it's something that's only hit me in the last 5 years or so. I think it's something I never had an issue with until I've gotten older and just I've dealt with more things, I think. So, but if someone wanted to write into us about their writing process or what inspired them to get creative, how could they do that?
Well, they could write into bit.ly/2for1mail and let us know anything about those things. I love that. What inspires you to create? Do you have any like keys to success? Any like, you know, tried and true, you know, tips and tricks that really help you either get started or keep going or whatever. I think it's just the same as it's really fun to see other artists' artwork. It's also just really cool to see other artists' process and see what how they're doing it in motion, you know. And so let us know, bit.ly/2for1mail.
Yeah, a good way of putting it is, how do you get to the keyboard in the morning? I'd love to know.
Yeah,
like me getting to it is like it's like a that is the hardest part is getting to the keyboard.
And it's so, I mean, like, it, you know, I do yoga with Adrian, YouTube yoga, and it's not this phenomenon is not, you know, specific to this. I mean, what she says all the time, the hardest part about yoga is getting on the mat. Mm. The hardest part about yoga is just showing up. If you've shown up, you've literally half the battle's won. You know what I mean?
That's the title. I just decided that's the title of our podcast this week is Getting to the Keyboard.
I love it. That's a great name.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, guys, if you can't hit us up at our Bitly, you can always write us in the comment section below. As I mentioned earlier, we're on YouTube, youtube.com/2for1studios, the best place to consume the content. Daniel, this is now one of my favorite episodes we've ever done.
Yeah, we need to do just more off-topic.
I mean, we do say,
you know, like
interest us, or I mean, you know, we do say in our bio, whatever, that we're two aspiring filmmakers.
Indeed,
that's how we started, and so I think it's good to remind audiences that, but also even better for us to remind ourselves. Mm-hmm. So,
and it's fun to document it. You know,
it's fun there's to
some
document.
Good. I you know, whether the audience enjoys it or not, there's some good nuggets in here. I might need to re-listen to this episode. You know what I mean? Like,
you stumble upon this and you listen to it and you don't know who's talking because you're so old you can't hear correctly. And then you look at the name, it's like Daniel Lingfield and Donovan. You're like, whoa, I said this 40 years ago. I was smart back then. What happened?
Then I'll say I've made it, yes.
And then you'll say I made it and you'll die on your deathbed right then. That's what will happen. Anyway, Daniel, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.